You all are singing well tonight. That's wonderful. You know, I know it's probably not fair. It's probably not reasonable. But I tend to judge congregations by how well they sing. We go into a place and the people just don't sing. I think, wow, this is going to be rough. It's going to be a hard time here. And when you go into some place and the people just rear back and sing, it just makes you feel like really they're excited about being there. And they're ready to hear what God has to say. So it's encouraging when folks sing like you folks sing. Keep it up, amen? Just keep it. Don't ever let your song service become dead and dry and lifeless. Don't do that. Just sing with enthusiasm and put your heart in there and remember those great truths that you're singing. Those are life-changing truths. Life, when you sing Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One, that's the greatest truth anybody could ever say. Let alone know and experience that happening in your life and then sing about it. That's exciting stuff. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse number 1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now go to verse 14, if you would, same chapter. And when they had finished it, that's the temple, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Look at verse 25. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. Now this is Joash it's talking about. Isn't that sad? Isn't that a sad way to end the story? What a horrible, horrible ending. I wanna look at the end of the story tonight, and I mentioned to you, I think yesterday or the day before, you know God wrote this book because he tells the truth about people. And he just lays it out there and says this is what they did and this is how it happened. And this is an unfortunate, sad ending to what was such an exciting, encouraging, God-honoring story and beginning. And I want you to know tonight that I believe with all my heart it didn't have to end that way. It didn't have to end that way. It could have ended better than that. It really could have. Let's pray and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for the wonderful gift of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, tonight I pray, as we look into your word, we would again be challenged, we would be encouraged, and Lord, we would be warned that just because things may be going well right now, we need to watch for the future. We need to make sure we stay on the right path. We need to make sure we follow you with all of our heart. Lord, if there'd be one here tonight lost without Christ, I pray that tonight would be the night they'd see their need of a Savior and be saved before it's too late. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Joash, we've gone over it the last two nights. As a one-year-old baby, he's spared from slaughter. And he's raised in the house of Jehoiada and Jehoshabeth, the godly priest and his wife. For 6 years, they hide him from the evil queen that's on the throne. And then when she's overthrown, he becomes the king of Judah, at 7 years old. And he follows God and he leads the people to serve God and to reestablish the worship of God in the temple and to refurnish the temple after it's been ransacked and ruined by the Baal worshippers. And things are going great in Judah. Everything's going wonderful. He's a young man who has been blessed by God in amazing ways. Really. Just from the very beginning, being spared from death, becoming the king at the age of 7. That's a unique and special thing. He's used by God to repair the temple. He's raised by a godly family. He has a godly man who's his mentor and his teacher, telling him and showing him what to do. It's a wonderful story. But then at the end of his life, it all falls apart. It all falls apart. And we find him under the judgment of God that we'll see very clearly from Scripture. It says God judged them, and he used their enemies to come in and overtake them as judgment for their idolatry and their wickedness. This king took them back into idolatry. The one who took them out of idolatry took them back into idolatry. And God sent messengers and prophets to preach against the sin, and he rejected it and wanted nothing to do with them. And he ends his life wounded and sick, laying on his bed, and his own servants come and murder him. And then they bury him, but they don't bury him in a place of honor with the kings. Remember, we just read a few minutes ago that when the godly priest Jehoiada died, they buried him with the kings because he had done good in Israel. When Joash died, they just tossed him in a tomb. They didn't bury him with the kings. They didn't want to remember Joash. They wanted to forget him because he caused the judgment of God to fall on their nation. What a sad ending. What a sad ending. How do you start off so well and end up wasting it all by the time it's over? You say, well, that's one of those Old Testament stories, and that kind of stuff happened in the Old Testament. It sure did. Well, it happens today too, amen? So, no, that wouldn't happen now. Oh, it happens every day now. It happens just like that to people all around us. He ends up worshiping idols and murdering Zechariah, the priest that cries against his wickedness. He's defeated by Syria. He's murdered by his servants. Let me tell you what happened. He had all the blessings and gifts of God that were just literally heaped on him, and yet he neglected those gifts and he wasted those blessings. And if you neglect the gifts of God and waste the blessings of God, you will end in a disaster. Just because you're experiencing the blessing of God today and enjoying the wonderful gifts of God doesn't mean that it'll always be that way. If you walk away from that and you reject that, then your life is going to end in a disastrous mess. Just like Joash did. You've seen it happen to people. You've seen it happen to people that you knew that were in church with you, they were serving God with you, and then they threw up their hands and they rejected the goodness of God and they walked away from the blessings of God and they ended their lives miserable and bitter and wasted. We ought to be careful that that not happen to us, because it could. It could happen to us. Yeah, but I'm in church and I'm serving God. Good, then keep it up. Amen? Then keep it up. Be careful. Don't waste the blessings. Don't neglect the gifts. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 14, God had the Apostle Paul write to young Timothy, a young preacher, and he said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Why would God, through the Apostle Paul, instruct Timothy to not neglect the gifts God had given him? Because he could have neglected the gifts God had given him. That's why. Have you ever met somebody who said, oh yeah, when I was a young man or a young lady, I believed God wanted me to go to the mission field, or he called me to preach or whatever, and I never did do it. You ever met anybody like that? I know some folks like that. There was a man in my home church in Fairbanks, Alaska. Both of his sons were in the ministry, and any time I was home preaching in Fairbanks, good friends, he would come to me in the foyer and he would tell me how much he appreciated the message and everything, and he would say, you know, I should have been doing what my boys were doing. But I just wouldn't do it. I missed it. I just threw it away. He was a good man. He was a good man, faithful, but he missed out on what God had for him because he just wouldn't do what God wanted him to do. He neglected the gifts God gave him. He walked away from the blessings that God had heaped on him. What a sad, sad thing to miss out. How does it happen? How do you start off so well and end so poorly? How does it happen? I know many young people. I could give you a list tonight of young people who had surrendered to preach or surrendered to the mission field or surrendered to this or that, And then somewhere along the line, they got sidetracked by the world, and their lives tonight are a disaster. I mean, an absolute disaster. And they never would have said, that's what I want to be one day. They never would have said, I want to be addicted to drugs or alcohol, or I want to be, you know, just a mess. Even in the eyes of a lost world, they never would have said, that's what I want to be one day. They said, I want to serve God one day. But somehow they got sidetracked and they didn't follow through. And they neglected the gifts and they wasted the blessings. Wasted. How does it happen? Well, I want to show you how it happened to Joash. And I want this to be a warning for us, okay? So you can look ahead and you can make sure that you don't start down the path Joash went down. First of all, I want you to look at verse number 2 that we just read. Verse number 2. It says, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now look at verse 14, the last sentence in verse 14. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. Do you see something in common in those two verses? Joash served God as long as Jehoiada was there. And when Jehoiada passed off the scene, Joash no longer saw a need to serve God. You see, Joash had a wrong focus. Joash had more of a relationship with Jehoiada the priest than he did with the God of Jehoiada the priest. Listen, you need to make sure that your focus is right. Because if your focus is wrong, your end is going to be wrong. Make sure the focus is right. Let me ask you this. Who or what keeps you doing right and serving God? What is it? What is it that motivates you to serve God? What is it that motivates you to be in church? What is it that motivates you to read your Bible? What is it that motivates you to do whatever it is you do for God? What is it that keeps you going? Maybe some of you ladies would say, well, it's my husband, and my husband loves the Lord, and he wants to serve the Lord, and I love my husband, so I'm going to encourage him in that, and we're going to serve the Lord together. That's nice. That's wonderful. That's great. But what if some tragedy happens and your husband's gone this time next year? Are you still faithful? Are you still serving God? Are you still doing what you're doing now? Or do you stop altogether? Listen, if you're not still serving God when He passes off the scene, then your focus is wrong right now. I'm glad you have a wonderful relationship and you want to serve God because He does, but you better get a relationship with God instead of just some person. Maybe you men would say, well, it's my wife. And my wife insists that we be in church, and I love my wife, and I want to please my wife, so here we are. Good. I'm glad she drug you off to church. Praise the Lord for that. What happens if she's gone? Do you stay faithful, or do you suddenly see no more need to be in the house of God, no more need to serve the Lord? Well, that means you have a wrong focus. You have a wrong focus. And what you're doing right now is just going through motions. It doesn't really mean anything. You need to get your focus right. Maybe some of you young folks would say, well, it's my parents. You know, my parents want me in church, and my parents want me to serve the Lord. And by the way, they told me if I didn't come to church, they wouldn't feed me. So here I am. I'm in church. Amen? Well, thank God for parents. Amen? Who are willing to not feed you if you don't come. That's a blessing. But what happens? Someday you're going to be on your own. Someday you're going to be an adult, and you're going to have to make your own decisions. What are you going to do then? Well, if you see no need to serve God then, that means you've got a wrong focus right now. Wrong focus. I was preaching in Seward, Alaska, and I've been to the church many times, and there was a family there, and I greeted them, and I knew they had a son that was a teenager, and I thought he probably should have graduated high school, but you hate to ask, you know, you don't want to, just in case he didn't, you know, you don't want to ask. So I waited for them to bring it up, and they told me he went off to college. I thought, that's wonderful. That's exciting. Where did he go? I'm expecting to hear some Bible college somewhere, because this was a young man who was very active in church. He was active in the teen department. He was, you know, he was just there for everything and seemed to have a good attitude and all that stuff. So I'm expecting some Bible college somewhere. They said, well, he went to the University of Oregon. Said, oh, that's scary. I mean, I know you can go to a secular college and survive. I know you can do that. But we're talking about the People's Republic of Oregon here. We're talking about as deep in the garbage can as you can get. University of Oregon. I mean, we're talking socialist propaganda night and day and just bad stuff. I said, that's where he went, huh? He said, yeah, he wants to get into business. Well, you know, we need businessmen with good Christian morals. Amen? Thank God for Christian businessmen and all that. I said, that's wonderful. Has he found a church? Because I really don't have anything against young people going to secular colleges for different things that they want to do or be. But you had better have a good church while you're there. And that's where you better spend most of your time. Because if you don't, you're going to get messed up. They will destroy you. I said, well, has he found a church to go to there? And they said, oh, no, he hasn't. I said, well, you know, I think there are a couple churches around that area, and I can get you their names and stuff. And they said, well, you know, he doesn't have a car. I said, well, I'm sure there are at least a couple where there are people who would be glad to come and get it. Because he needs to be in a good church if he's going to be in that setting. He needs to be around the people of God, and he needs to keep his foundation right, or else he's going to get in serious trouble. They said, well, you know, he really hasn't looked for a church because he doesn't have a car and it's so difficult. And so I just dropped it. Now let's be honest. Have any of you, parents, grandparents, ever met a teenager who couldn't get where he wanted to go whether or not he had a car? Does that stop them because they don't have a car? There's always somebody that's willing to take them somewhere. There's always a way. You know what the real problem was? He wasn't living with mom and dad, and he saw no reason to be in church. It was just an imposition on his time. He had a wrong focus. He had a good relationship with mom and dad. He just didn't have much relationship with the God of mom and dad, that's all. And that's a dangerous thing. Listen, you need your own relationship with God. You can't get on somebody else's coattails in your relationship with God, because that other person someday will be gone. And it'll just be you. And you better have something between you and God. He had a wrong focus. Well, maybe it's your pastor. You say, well, we love Brother Leithley, and he's our pastor, and so that's why we serve God. That's great. That's wonderful. It really is. It's wonderful. What if some tragedy happens and he's not here next year? And you have some new guy? Will you still be faithful? Or will you say, well, you know, we just dropped out of church because it's just not the same. Well, of course it's not the same. But your relationship with God ought to be the same. That ought to be the same. And you ought to still be serving God. You know, in every good church, every bad church, every church period, when one pastor leaves or dies or moves on or whatever, and another pastor comes, there are always some people who don't come back. I mean, people who've been there for years who just don't come back. You know why? Because they loved the pastor. They just didn't have much relationship with God. That's all. So they had no reason to continue serving God when that particular man was out of the way. Maybe some great hero of the faith that's impacted your life, and that's your motivation, and you put them up on a pedestal. I hate to break this to you. At their best, they're human, and sooner or later, they're probably going to do something that's a little embarrassing to you. Or they'll just mess up totally altogether and wash out, or it's not unheard of to end really badly. Will you continue to serve God? Boy, I hope so, because if you don't, you've got a wrong focus. You need to transfer that relationship to God. Maybe some Bible college or some fellowship or some seminar or something that's impacted and helped you. Thank God for it. Do you understand that God puts all of those things in our lives to build our relationship to Him? Not to build our relationship to them, to build our relationship to Him. Because all of those things can go by the wayside. All of those things can fail. All of those things can fall apart. Listen, I went to a Bible college that that at the time was known as a great Bible college that turned out preachers and missionaries and everything. But listen, I wouldn't send anybody there today for anything. And the seeds of what's going on there now was happening back then. It just hadn't come to fruition and hadn't blossomed out, that's all. It was on its way down the toilet and nobody even knew it. But it was already on that slide and on that slope and going that direction. And that is the historical pattern for Bible colleges, seminars, fellowships. Take your pick. They start off great, doing great work for God, and then over time, apathy comes in, or heresy comes in, or modernism comes, things creep in. And then one day it doesn't even resemble what it once was. You know, many of the famous universities in the United States of America were founded as schools to train young men to preach the gospel. Yale, Princeton, founded as schools to teach young men to preach so they could go out and evangelize the Indians and the colonists and just to go out and preach the gospel. That's what they started for. Listen, you wouldn't send anybody there for anything religious today because they wouldn't get anything that has to do with this book whatsoever. All they'd get is a bunch of modernistic heresy and try to destroy their faith in that book. You wouldn't send somebody to a place like that. I hope you wouldn't send somebody to a place like that. But they started off good, with good intentions, and it all fell apart. Listen, you better have the right focus. Not on some group or some school or something. Have your focus on God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1, I mentioned it to you, I think, last night, where the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, made a bold statement. He said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Now, that's a lot to say. But please understand, he wasn't saying, "You just follow me." That's not what he was saying. He was saying, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." He was not trying to build loyalty to Paul. He was trying to build loyalty to Christ. He said, "You follow me as I follow Christ." The implication is, when I cease to follow Christ, you cease to follow me. You continue. As long as I'm following Christ, then you follow me. You say, "But, you're taking that out of context." No. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Because here's another statement. Paul was not attempting to build a following for himself. That wasn't his purpose. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse number 8. It says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Isn't that something? He said, "though we." He said, "If I come back to you and I preach a gospel different than the gospel I preached to you the first time I came, you just let me be accursed." In other words, you continue to stick with the truth. And if I veer from the truth, you just disregard me altogether. That's pretty good, isn't it? You won't hear that from most leaders. But that's what the Apostle Paul said under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. What was he saying? Make sure your focus is right. Is it possible that a man who once stood and preached the Word of God could deviate from it and go off into modernism and heresy? Oh yeah, it's possible. What do? Stick with the Word of God. You stick with the truth. You don't follow somebody that runs off into error. You stick with the truth. Who or what is it that keeps you serving God? That's what reveals your focus. Joash had a wrong focus. He had a good relationship with Jehoiada. He just didn't know God very well. Not only did he have a wrong focus, he had the wrong friends. Look down here in verse 17. "Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them." Joash is listening to the wrong people. I find it interesting that these princes of Judah didn't see fit to come visit the king until after Jehoiada died. Do you suppose they were afraid to come while Jehoiada was alive? Because these guys worshipped idols. They did. And they knew if they showed up on the doorstep while that old guy was still in there, they'd lose their heads before they left. That's what happened. They'd just cut their heads off and throw them in the ditch and that'd be the end of them. But when the old guy died, they said, let's go find out if Joash believes what that old guy believed. So they went up and knocked on the door, however you did it. And they made obeisance to the king. You know what that means? That means that they buttered him up. That's what they did. They told him how wonderful he was. They told him what a great king he was. They told him how wise he was. And they just laid it on thick. And they flattered him. You know, the Bible says a lot about flattery and none of it's good. You know the difference, right, between sincere compliments and flattery. You can tell. I mean, when it's flattery and it starts getting laid on real heavy, even you don't believe it. You know? At first you're thinking, these are pretty perceptive people. They know how wonderful I am. And then you think, well, I'm not that wonderful. But they're just laying it on a little too much. And you better be careful, because people do that when they're trying to get you in trouble. Something's up when somebody does that. People have a purpose in their flattery. And it's not a good purpose. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19 says, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Proverbs 29:5, a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. He's trying to trap him, and that's what these men did. They came and they made obeisance to the king, and they told him how wonderful he was, and how wise he was, and how smart he was. And Joash said, boy, these guys are perceptive folk. I really am that good. Just look at me. I'm the king. I'm pretty smart. I'm pretty wise. I'm gracious. I'm a great king. In verse 18, and they left the house of the Lord God their fathers and served groves and idols. Just like that. I mean, just like that. The princes showed up and began to flatter Joash. And he said, I think I'll go ahead and give these guys what they want, because obviously they're smart enough to recognize my good qualities. They wouldn't do anything to hurt me. They probably didn't ask to tear down the temple and just rebuild all the altars of Baal. They probably said, would it be all right if we just worship Baal a little bit? Just a little. We won't interfere with the worship of God, nothing. We'll go out there in the groves and we'll just worship our idols just a little bit. But we love you, king, and we're going to follow you and we're going to support you. And he said, well, sure, that'll be all right. Just a little. That's not going to hurt anything. Just a little. And so they did. And next thing you know, the nation is plunged back into idolatry. And now they find themselves under the judgment of God because they've rebelled against God. They came and they flattered, and God sent rebuke. It says, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets, in verse number 19, to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. God, you'll notice all through the rest of the chapter, God is giving Joash opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get right. He sends wrath, and Joash doesn't recognize it as the hand of God, and then he sends prophets to come right out and say to Joash, you're going into idolatry and it's not pleasing to God, you need to stop. And he ignored that. He just rejected that. Now look at verse 20. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of who? Jehoiada the priest. You remember Jehoiada the priest? That was the godly priest that saved Joash's life, that stood beside Joash all of his reign. Stood there and showed him how to be a good king, showed him what to do right. Well, Jehoiada had a son by the name of Zechariah. Now remember, Joash grew up in Jehoiada's house. Jehoiada was the only father Joash ever knew. Zechariah is like Joash's brother. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. The people heard Zechariah cry out against their idolatry, and they said, let's do away with him. And they conspired against him. And then the king got involved. And when they finally stoned him to death, they did so at the commandment of the king. Joash said, I want him dead. Kill him. And so that mob that was upset about what he'd said, they now had not just permission from the king, they had orders from the king to murder Zechariah, and they did. God sent him rebuke, and he ignored the rebuke, and then God sent another messenger, and he killed God's messenger. Oh, we don't do that stuff today. Right? When God sends us rebuke, we pay attention, right? When things begin to go awkward in our lives and we're not doing right, we stop and take stock of things and see if something needs to be taken care of, right? That's what we ought to do. That's not what Joash did. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17, it says, he that refuses reproof erreth. You better accept reproof. Proverbs 15, 31, 32 says, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. But he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. God sends you reproof for a reason. Have you ever been reproved by God? You probably have. Have you been rebuked by God? Probably so. Listen, if you're saved tonight, you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you've been reproved by God. We call it being under conviction. That day you realized you were a sinner, you know what happened? God just kind of spiritually slapped you upside the head and reproved you. And he said, you're a sinner. And you need to be saved. And you accepted the reproof of God and the rebuke that God sent. And it was the most wonderful day in your life, wasn't it? You know, after you get saved, you need to continue accepting the rebuke of God. God doesn't send you rebuke and reproof because he's mean and vicious. He does it because he loves you. Because he loves you. He was giving Joash an opportunity to turn around, and so he sent Zechariah, and he murdered him. Did you ever go home and verbally assassinate the preacher? Oh, you can't get away with stoning him in the parking lot. You may have thought about it, but you can't get away with it. Trust me. Somebody will catch you. So you just go home and talk bad about him. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Listen, all Zechariah was doing was delivering the message of God. And instead of getting right with God, Joash killed Zechariah. We do the same thing. The preacher stands up and preaches, and instead of getting right with God, we just get mad at the preacher. That's foolish. We ought to accept the rebuke that God sends and get those things right. And if Joash had done that, it would not have ended the way it ended. It wouldn't have ended that way. Verse 22. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people. Isn't it amazing? God sent Syria in there. And the first ones they slaughtered were the princes. Who was it that came to Joash and said, let's worship idols? It was the princes. So God sent Syria in and took care of the princes. Got rid of them. And sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men. And look at verse 24. And the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand. You see, this wasn't just Syria causing trouble in Israel. This was God sending Syria into Israel. And God delivering a great host of the Israelites into the hand of the enemy. Because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest. Slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. A wrong finish. He had a wrong focus, and he had the wrong friends. He listened to the wrong people. Can I tell you tonight that there are a million voices out there trying to get your attention? and tell you how you ought to live your life and what you ought to do, and you'd better not listen. You'd better listen to this book right here. Because those other voices are just waiting to destroy you. Some will do it quickly and some will do it slowly, but they will destroy you. You'd better be thankful. When you go to your pastor and say, what should I do about this thing in my life? And he pulls out this book and says, well, here's what God says about it. And you don't particularly like what God said about it, you ought to jump up and down and clap your hands and hug your preacher. Because he's giving you the truth of the Word of God. Whether you like it or not, you ought to be thankful that you have a preacher who's willing to say, here's what the Bible says about the subject. Not, here's what will make you happy. Or here's what I think would be nice. Or here's how it'll go the best for you. But here's what the Bible says. Anything other than that, you better be careful. Because there are lots and lots of folks out there tonight. Oh, I know Cambridge is a religious town. And I would dare say you could go to any number of churches or whatever you want to go to in the area. And no matter what kind of foolish, wicked, ungodly thing you wanted to do in your life, you could find some preacher or preacherette or minister or priest or somebody who would say to you, well, that's okay. Go ahead. You'd find them. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, you can think of the weirdest, most perverted thing under the sun. And there's one out there tonight. There's a preacher or a minister out there who would pat you on the back and say, it's okay. Whatever makes you feel good is what God wants. And he's a liar. She, he, whatever. They're lying to you. You need to find somebody, and you've got one, that'll say, here's what God says. You ought to thank God for that every single day. Every single day. Listen to the right voices. The ones that love you enough to tell you what God has to say. Joash had a wrong focus. He had the wrong friends. He listened to the wrong people. And he had a wrong finish. I submit to you tonight, again, that it did not have to end that way. As soon as those princes came to his door and asked him about idolatry, he should have chased them out of there and had their heads cut off down by the gate. That's what he should have done. And that would have been the end of the problem, and the story could have ended just as wonderfully as it started. After he listened to those princes and God sent the prophets to cry against it, he could have said, okay, you're right, I messed it up, and he could have repented and got right with God, and the story could have ended just as well as it started. After Zechariah came and said, you better get rid of the idols, he could have said, you're right. Jehoiada never would have put up with this, and I know this is against God, and I know this is the filth that my own father and grandmother were involved in that destroyed the nation to start with. I'm going to get it right and fix it. And it could have ended as well as it started. When God sent Syria in to bring judgment and slaughtered those princes that had caused all the trouble, Joash could have said, oh, I see. I see. God is angry because of our sin and our idolatry, and we're going to get it right, and we're going to wipe out the idolatry. And it could have ended the way that it started. God is merciful. You see how many chances God gave this guy to turn around and do right? How many chances had God given you to do right? You may have passed on a few, like Joash did. Listen, we better take the opportunities God gives us. We are people who are blessed of God. We are. We are blessed people. You live in the United States of America. This is the greatest country in all the world. Oh, it has problems. It has problems. It has issues. But we have more freedom here than anybody else does anywhere else. I mean, this is still the greatest country in all the world. You're blessed. You have the opportunity for somebody to stand up and preach the gospel to you one day. If you were born in Saudi Arabia, you wouldn't have had that opportunity. But you were born here. And somebody preached the gospel to you one day. Somebody gave you a tract one day. Somebody sat down at your table one day and opened their Bible and showed you how to be saved one day. And you got saved. We are blessed people. And we can do that with other people anytime we want. And we can preach the gospel and we can sing the songs and we can have church and we can do all that stuff. We are blessed by God. Let's not waste those blessings. Let's not reject those gifts. Waste those blessings. You have a church that believes the Bible. That is not true in every town. You have a church that believes that book to be the Word and the words of Almighty God. You ought to thank God. Don't waste that gift. Don't neglect that. Don't waste that blessing. Listen, there are other folks who would give their right arm to have a church like that in their town. Don't waste that blessing and say, well, you know, I'll show up every other Sunday or once or twice a month. No, that, you're wasting the blessings of God. Don't do that. That puts you on a path that you really don't want to go down. Don't waste the blessings and neglect the gifts that God has given you. You've got a preacher that loves the Lord and preaches the truth. Don't waste that blessing. You've got other folks right here that will encourage you and help you in your walk with God. Don't neglect that. Don't waste that blessing. Don't do that. Some of you grew up in homes where your mom and dad loved you so much that they drug you to church by the ear. Oh, you may not think that's a blessing. One day you will. Don't neglect that. Don't waste that. Listen, you have more opportunity than anybody else. You have more opportunity to serve God and honor Him and do great things for Him than anybody else. Thank God that you grew up in a home where they loved the Lord and they taught you the truth and they drug you off to church even when you didn't want to go. Thank God for it. Don't neglect the gifts God has given you. The greatest gift of all is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And you know, there are people, I know this is weird, this is far-fetched, this is odd, but there are people who sit in churches like this every Sunday who have never accepted the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And they walk out the doors every Sunday wasting the blessings and neglecting the gifts of God when God is literally dumping it at them, saying, here it is. Here are the blessings and gifts I have for you. Boom, here's salvation through Jesus Christ. Here's a wonderful, abundant life. And they say, not interested. That is foolish. Don't neglect the gifts and waste the blessings of God, or you will finish wrong. You don't want to finish wrong. Can I tell you the good news tonight? The good news is you can finish right. Isn't that exciting? You can finish right. You can be one of those folks we talked about the other night who, when you leave this life, you have a good testimony of what God did in and through you. You can finish right. Oh, there are kings that finished good, finished well. It's just a shame that Joash started out so well and ended up so poorly. We need to watch out in our lives. Make sure our focus stays right. Make sure our friends stay right. We listen to the right voices. And then ask God every day to help us to finish right. You know, the world doesn't need to see another hypocrite. Have you ever had people tell you, oh, church is full of hypocrites? You've heard that. The church is just full of people, and people are not perfect. But you know, the world doesn't need to see another guy who starts well and ends badly, because they already know too many of those. They've met too many, they've known too many. They need to see more who start well and end well. And we could do that by the power of God. Let's stand together and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, thank you for the example you've given to us in Scripture of this king who started off well with all the wonderful blessings and gifts that you gave him. Lord, thank you for telling us the truth about his failures and his foolishness. Because God, that's what we're prone to as well. And I pray tonight that we would determine in our hearts that we want to finish right. We're going to keep our focus the way it ought to be on our relationship with you. We're going to listen to the people who would tell us what you have to say, not what they think will make us feel good. And by the grace of God, we're going to finish with a good testimony. Lord, maybe there's somebody here tonight that's never trusted Christ as Savior. They've heard the gospel. They've sat in church services over and over and over. But there has never come a time when they truly accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they've walked out over and over and over again neglecting the gifts of God. Well, I pray tonight they wouldn't do that. But instead they'd come and be saved before it's too late. There will come a time when there's no more opportunity. And I pray that tonight they'd take advantage of your blessings and your gifts. We'll thank you for all that you do in our midst, in Jesus' name. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the piano is going to begin to play.